Was it audible last week? Very good. I'm afraid of all. Because to say Shia, we had benefit of it. Now it's good. But it depends upon position of my head. Or my brain. Now you hear? Alright, but if something should happen, so tell me. And apparently there is a possibility of being to control them. Anyway, we read the last Shabbos Vayechi. With Vayechi, we concluded, the reading of Chumash Bereishis, and as I have repeated so many times, that everybody that you should remember, the Rambam called Sefer HaSimonim, the book of symbols or blueprints. Now it came to a close. We already at Milche, we are reading the second book, this is Shmos. Now, as a matter of fact, if the Torah had been interested only in the story of the Bnei Yisrael and the development of Golus Mitzrayim, how it happened, and the Torah traced this story quite carefully, with Joseph and the envy which he generated by exhibiting the multicolored shirt, is it audible? Is it audible, Rabbi Rich? Is it audible? All right. Okay. I thought that you are asleep. You were asleep. You were asleep. I know. All right. Anyway, the Torah could have finished Vayigash. Vayigash, take up the Chumashim without the Chumashim. Vayigash. What was the last? Pasuk of Vayigash. Vayeshev Yisroel Beretz Mitzrayim Beretz Knugeshen Vayeochazuvo Vayifru Vayirbu Meid. In other words, this is the story how the Jews came to Mitzrayim, and the Torah gives us one passage, one sentence. How the Jews, their experiment was very successful, and the Jew multiplied and became stronger and stronger economically in every era, in every undertaking. The Jew was prominently known, he was known and was very successful. Now what comes, what should have been said right away after that? Forgetting about Vayechi, and say, Ve'elu Shmeiz Ne'Yisrael Aboim Mitzrayim. Or, since the Rambam says, that really Shmei Yisrael Aboim Mitzrayim, as Yaki, Vishu, Beis, Bo, is because it is due to the fact that the Torah has interrupted the story of the immigrants in Mitzrayim and began to tell the story of Jacob's last years. Jacob's Levaya, Jacob's burial, Jacob's Savoye, but all that was unnecessary apparently. We could have gotten along without it. And right after Vayigash, Vayokam Melachon, Vayyakim, Vayichi, Yakim, Vayatnoan, would have been no need even to mention the Shvatim, the names of the Shvatim. Because in the Torah they are mentioned already in Vayigash, so why repeat? So the Ramban says because he interrupted the continuity. Why did we interrupt the continuity? It means by recording the death of Jacob, of Yaakov. Vayechi Yaakov v'Eretz Mitzrayim. So the parrot picked up the scene by repeating the story of immigration by repeating a couple of sentences as to the last, the sum total of the of what happened, to the event which happened. Yeah. But actually the Torah had not reported about Vechi Yaakov Eretz Kanaan. They would not report. Yaakov died in Kanaan. So the Torah is what would have been on it, I mean, to repeat the few psukim. So the question rises, the Ramban is right. But the question rises, and it's a very important question. Why did the Torah interrupt? Vayechi is a story of whom? Basically, the story of Vayechi is the story of Yaakov. Because Yosef comes in, but the story of Yaakov 17 years in Mitzrayim, and there the Torah, it's a very short story, but there are apparently basic parshas in Vayechi which the Torah could not get along with. And the Torah had to tell us the story of Vayechi in order, to explain something to us, which is of great importance. What was missing in the Torah? What would have been missing in the Torah if the Torah had not told us the story of Vayechi? But finishing the story of Vayigash, when they struck root in Mitzrayim, the Torah would have started to write, Ve'elish Meizne Yisrael, Vayokom El HaChodesh Al Mitzrayim, Vayodet Mitzrayim, Vayomos Yisrael Cholera Chola Deyahu. What would have been missing? Apparently it's very important to know the stories which the Torah has recorded in Vayechi in order to understand the goals of the Jews in Mitzrayim. Secondly, basic truth, basic tenets, basic verities about Knesset Yisrael and its relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to expression in Vayechi. I don't know how much I'll be able to cover today, tonight, but I would like to know what are they. But the Torah interrupted the narrative. The Torah interrupted the narrative. The narrative was concerned with one motif, with one thing, namely the immigration of the people of the 70 members of the household of Jacob's household to Mitzrayim. And for that, the Torah laid out a plan of Mechirat Yosef, a strategic plan. And finally the objective was achieved. And the Yaakov was new settlers, any immigrants in Mitzrayim. Enough. Then tell what happened to the Bnei Yaakov. No, the Torah wanted to know, to tell us a story about Jacob, a very moving story. And apparently Jacob is Yisrael's sovereign. Jacob is more than any other Av, than any other patriarch, the representative, the image of the people. My service is similar to him, but the outstanding representative of the people, whose his image reflects the very essence of the people, whose father he was. As a matter of fact, the people are called Israel. People are not called Avram. When you say Avram, you mean individual. When you say Yitzhak, you mean individual. When you say Israel or Yaakov, he's not always individual. On the contrary, in many cases outside of Chumash, Rebbe Breishis, Yisroel is a collective name, related to whom? To the people as such, to the people, to the nation. Am Yisroel Chai, to the nation. And apparently it's very important to know what kind of a nation, who the customers were, whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected as his partners. So it was a strange partnership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, he chose them. They did not come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for that he should sign a covenant with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Avram, to Yitzhak, to Yaakov. So apparently they are very important. I don't know whether I can cover them, it's certainly not. But first of all, halachically, what is there in Vayechi, which is important to us from the standpoint of Allah? Not rules, not philosophy, nothing. Just from plain Allah. Which the standpoint stand from the viewpoint of the Yerade. What is it? What? Shimon? What? Shiva. It's halachic. Because we know there is a group of Hashemim, quite a large group of Hashemim, a very large group of Hashemim, who are of the opinion that all 7 days of Aviris are min Hatera. It's not min Rabbana. Maybe the Gedgenim at Admenim, Shilta is the Avachas Deris, the Gedgenim of Haibur and all them. We're of the opinion that not only Yom Rishon is Midaraisa, but Shiva Sayomim is Midaraisa. Where's the Mokher, where's the source for 7 days Midaraisa? We ask Lord Evel Shiva Sayomim. So what was the answer which the Rambam and the Rabbalkas, the Bebesis in Yerushalayim mentioned? Evel Shiva Sayomim as the source of Aloha is mentioned in Yerushalayim. However, what was the answer that the Rambam gave and Rav Alfes Rav Alfes replied, "Mit no terror and it's such a true that before Matan Torah the always used to observe a village consisting of 7 days, but Lacha Matan Torah is the new Torah and new Alochet, and the 7 days are the Maile Belemered on Nizhar." Neither significance, no. Maybe there was not 7 days. With the Raisa, the Natera should not someone mention the Sinai. With the Raisa, there's only there is 1 day of events. In the Chalkaye, but not 7 days of events. I would like to ask something which I don't know, I have not come across Achreinim or Bala Mechabrim who raised this question, but the question is so simple that everybody, or even I would say a Talmud, a child in a day school, in a cheder should ask this question. What is the question? And I'll tell you frankly, I'm afraid somebody is asking, I don't know. So perhaps, all right, I'll be grateful for that, too. Perhaps you may read the story from Ayas Lovish, Elge Eber Shulishyam. Vayal Yosef Ligver Esarim. Just you take the context. Vayal Uite Kolav De Fare. Zikne Vese Vechal Zikne Eretz Mitzrayim. So it means the funeral consisted not only of Jews. They of course they joined, but of Mitzrayim as well, the highest aristocracy. Vayal Vayaloite kolav de tfare zitne veisim chal zitne eretz Mitzrayim. Vechil bis yeisim veecho vaveisali raktapam veceinam uvkorom ozu beretz grishu. Vayal limi gam rechev gam poroshin vayamach nekol vmei vayoveyu ad geren rotot asha beim varayam vayispidu shua mispid godol vechoved mei vayas leoviv evel shiva semen. Listen carefully. Vayar yeshu vorez, this is the Knani, the prison. Aknani, Esu Evel, Begeren Otot, Vayemir Evel Kovet Dele Mitzrayim. Very serious. Al Kim Koroshmei Ovel, Mitzrayim, Asha Bevar Ayav. So it means we are now included not only Jews, not only the Shiva Nefesh, Shiordim, Yankim, Mitzrayim, they are more than Shiva, because they multiply. So it means that that Shiva is obligating on Bineach too. If it was al Pidina Tere, it should have been limited to Yosef, his brothers, and their children, and that's all. But the Tere says Vayas Lov is able Shivas Yomim. I mean, prima facie, it is a non-inclusive sentence. It's Vayas Lov is able. Who participated in the table? Who? Since the Yeshiva Oretz made a mistake, and he thought that the Rovel is not a Jewish procession at morning. But what? But the Egyptians apparently, at the Vayas Lovim Evel Shivas Yomim, refer is in include not only Yosef and his brothers and his descendants, his children, but all Mitzrayim, the vice president of Mitzrayim, the chairman, the speaker of the house, all of them, to maintain that Yosef told them to observe Shiva, it would be too much. I mean, interesting is that the Rambam says, Yom Rishon is only minatera only day which one is obligated, Rachmana Litzlan, to mourn the passing of his relative, the Shiva Krevik. But there's a name of Batera, this is a Lashon Rambam, if you want, you can check. But there's a name of Batera, but yes, we only wait for Shiva Shami, but apparently the Moker is Shiva Shami, so not Batera, but it's Hatsha Aloha. It's good. But the Tere in Ishmini is Vachalti Chatos, it refers to one day only. Aini. So apparently Taninis lasts only one day. Here it refers to 7 days. So the Ram did not Tere in Ishat Shalom. True, before Matan Tere the Jews observed 7 days, but the Tere came and abandoned the institution of Shiva. And instead, I introduced another institution, namely what? On the contrary, she abandoned the institution of Shiva, introduced the institution of Aninus, what's Yei Mechot. Yes, it's all right. But the question is, yeah, but the Rambam is interesting. So all right, so the Rambam says, Nit not Erev Nishat Shavach. And then, the same breath, he says, Umeisha Rabbeinu, kicking with him, Shiva Simei Averis. Umeisha Rabbeinu. Suddenly he reminds himself that Meisha introduced this to him. Meisha not Mipiagure, but Meisha Beteras Sanhedrin. Meisha is a Mechachme Yisroel. Not Mipiagure. Mipiagure, Meisha couldn't introduce to what he was not told by Kodesh Borot. Umeisha. Tikkun Leem Yisroel Shivas Yemei Aveles V'Shivas Yemei Amishne. But the Ram in general, by association, he was writing about Aveles, so he had to mention Umeisha Tikkun Leem Yisroel Shivas Yemei Amishne, Shivas Yemei Aveles, Shivas Yemei Amishne, Shivas Yemei Amishne, Shivas Yemei Aveles. But just by coincidence. Why did he mention Umeisha? I'm not interested. Who actually introduced, who legislated the aloha for 7 days. Whoever did, had authority to do it, and that's all, goodbye. לא דרם מיושב סמיישה שם. ובין אם זה מסלקח, ואני ארגיש, מוזדגינים, הקדמינים, שואלי, סזו מיישה, פיקרו לזה. So you're a shaman. So what is actually the connection, the associate, the link between Shiva Semiya Veles and Shiva Semiya Mishle? What is the link actually? And just because this is seven, that is seven. It makes no sense. Just apparently a common link, a common denominator in Shiva Semiya Veles and Shiva Semiya Mishle. I would like to know what it is. What is this common denominator? You see? Interesting is something else. I mean, I believe that the Shiva Veles should be known to all of you. I mean, because there are good showing with which I said in a village in Scotland 30 years ago are still circulating right here in the Yeshiva, being circulated right here in the Yeshiva. There is another, huh? What do you say?
I am here.
They are here? It's just a moment. Yeah. There is a Rambam in Hilchos Bias Mikdash. Very strange Rambam. In a word, the Rambam Shiti is a Shiva Yimei Avelis play no role. The institution of Shiva is only an institution of Divrei HaChachomim, Divrei Torah. Whereas this is the Rambam. In his polemic with the game. Yes. So a noble or a veles midrashim is no less only one day. However, a veles midrabbonon less how much? How long? 7 days. Take a look at Rambam Hilchos Bias Mikdash. Does anybody have a Rambam Hilchos Bias Mikdash? Well, I read the cloud. The Ram says that a noble cannot send his korban to Beis Hamikdash. In other words, a noble is not a ben hakodesh. But he cannot be a bailim of korban. So a veles according to Rambam, how long couldn't he? I mean, if I had been asked, and I wouldn't have known the Rambam in Bias Mikdash, I would know only the Rambam in Hilchos Ovel. I say, Ovel in Meshaleach Kobanos. Ovel cannot, is not a Bailim, he is not a Meshaleach Kobanos. Even if he will not enter the Bias Mikdash, he cannot send the poem. For how long? What would you say? For how long? For one day, for the second day he can send the korb. Why could he send the second day a korb? Because there's not a noble anymore. But what does the Rambam say in his Bias Mikdash? Kol Shiva Semiya Hillel. So the question is a simple one. Moreinu Rabbeinu, tell us, is one day is a noble or 7 days? If it's one day a noble, why did you pass it? Why did you decide that a noble is Mishaleach called Bonus, called Shiva, or seven? If it's 7 days a noble, why shouldn't he observe the 7 days in prayer? No. Yes, no. Now you speak. Yeah. So what you know? Apparently at the Rambam, when the Rambam speaks, in Yerushalayim. May I plagiarize myself? When the Rambam speaks, excuse me. When the Rambam speaks in Perek Aleph and states without any doubt on his part that this is that Avilis consists of one day only, so Pirak Aleph Mechasot V'Aloch Aleph. So the Rambam speaks about what over. So what is, what difference is that? The Rambam speaks about the observance of Isra Avilis. New, correct. Observance of Isra Avilis. Chitze, Shtire, Nilza Sandu, Talmud Tere, Mishere, and et cetera, et cetera. That's what the Rambam says. A novel is not supposed to take off his shoes, midraise, only more than longer than a day. And there is no new gavelis. The isur gavelis are not, the isur gavelis are not binding on the second day. But the richer is limited to the first day. That's the Rambam. In Bias Migdosh, what does the Rambam speak about? It is not the in Bias Migdosh, what does the Rambam speak about? But Rechitze, Shtiye, Mirasasandlo? You wouldn't say so. About Korbonis. Korbonis is a Iser in Avelis. Rechitze is a Iser in Avelis. Talmud Tere is in Iser in Avelis, etc. Yerza Sandu is a Iser in Avelis. Simchas Mireus is a Iser in Avelis, and so forth. And so on. Isurim is only one day, but Shiluach Korbonos is not among, not to be found among Isur Avel. Ram Isur Avel has only 11 or 10. How many? 11. 11. This aloha in Kom that a noble cannot, a noble that Gavri at Avelis cannot be a Balakom. To be a Balakom and send a Kom to the Samiris. At the same time, be a Baal Avelis, a Gavri at Avelis, are mutually exclusive. If you bring a Kom and it comes to Abrish Boro, Vitalis Kabonet, Nehashem, the Gavri is a noble. This is excluded. It's not because our Ovel is also betobonus. Our Ovel is not also betobonus. It's not forbidden. But simply he cannot become a Baal HaKom. A Mishaliach Kobonus. Because Kobonus and Avelis are attached to this. In other words, the Ramban's Psak is that as long as we talk about Surah Ovel, so Avelis is limited to what period? To one day. The very moment we speak about a Gavri Anobel, a Gavri, not who observes Avelis, the Gavri within himself is Anobel. Because as I told you many times that Avelis is a Kiyum Shebelelet. All right, we have a list of Isurim, but all Isurim express one idea, one experience, namely, Avelis managed depression to be subdued, and so forth, to be sad and to cry. I mean Rahman al-Islam, a very simple emotion, a very simple, with all its emotional attributes against its emotional background. This is the Kiyum Shebelev in Avelis. Is a Gavriel who is supposed to be a noble Belev, not the Maizetek condition, but Belev. Maybe as a person we should feel Avelis, should experience Avelis. This is a Tartarus assessment. A Gavri, a novel is Avelis is an attribute of the person. Less how long? 7 days. It means there are, say, Bemes is according to the Ramda two concepts of Avelis. Gavri Anovo, but Gavri is Anovo. There's nothing to do with his story. But for instance, when the Gemara asks, Yontev, the Gemara says, Yontev, there's no Avelis. Why is there no Avelis on Yontev? Because Ose, Ese, the Raiser, is the Machto Bechagecho, Ese, the Rabbim, excuse me, Vedochi, Ese, the Yochid, the evil Yochid, Asilo. That's what Gemara said. But I would ask Gemara a simple question. Is there a mitzvah to take off the shoes on Yom Tov? I never heard. Of course, I wouldn't think much of a person who run around in stockings in his socks on the Erev Yom Tov in the morning when he's supposed to be in shul. I wouldn't appoint him as a Rav Roshi in Eretz Yisrael, but to say a Yisra, there's no Yisra, what kind of an Yisra is there? Is there an Yisra to sit on the floor on Yom Tov? One can sleep on the floor on Yom Tov. Is there an Yisra not to wash one's face on Yom Tov? There's no Yisra. So why does the Gemara say as Yom Tov and Avilis don't reconcile, cannot be reconciled? The Yom Tov, the Esri of Yom Tov, the Somachto Lechagecho, or the Rus Avilis. What does the Gemara say? What's the answer? It's not that the practice of Simchas Yom Tov and practicing Avilis cannot theoretically be visualized. No, it isn't true like that. It's true. I could visualize that a Jew who is retiring the mitzvah from Simchas Yom Tov walks around without shoes and not without washing his face and even to carry the to wear the what do you call it, the tree, the pear in front of him. I can but together they have to express what? All the Yisurim together, what do they have to express? Agavre anov. The experience of it. And this is impossible, Yom Tov. Yom Tov, Navelis, Tartar is possible. The same as what shall I say, as Korb Navelis, Tartar is possible. It does not depend upon new Gavelis, but it depends upon Avelis Shebelev. Shebelev within the personality, emotionally, he cannot do both. Either the yom is a one of Avilis, or the yom is a one of what? Absolutely. To have a yom, to be counted, to make it, to be counted in the race, in the senses, among the Yisur Ovo. At the same time, count the day as a day of Yom Tov. This is nonsense. This is not logical, it's plain nonsense. That's what the Gemara said, as a very Shebelev, as Simcha is Deche, what? Avilis. We have two concepts. Avilis, Isuri Avilis, or Niyug Avilis. We have also a concept of what? Gavra Favelis. Gavra Favelis. New Gavelis lasts how long? One day. The Naam said the Enes, Haninus. The Gavra is Enes only one day. At night after Shkis Hamu is not an Enes with the rice. It's enough. But Avelis lasts. Avelis depends what kind of Avelis. The Isra Avelis is one day. But a Gavri Anovu is 7 days with the rice. It's 7 days with the rice. That's why the Rambam Paschal says, Rechit says, Shtir, Rechit says, or the Kibbutz says, Yerzasandu, Talmud Tere, and so forth, is less than one day. New Gavri is the one. But Oblein, Meshaleach Korbonet, is like Yontef. Is it less? How long does it last? Kosher. Yom Tov is also kosher. And any day, not only the first day, breaks up. This is the right. The Rambam discriminates between Gavri Avelis and Isur Avelis. Listen carefully. And as far as Isur Avelis are concerned, is there the last Din Tere, the last how long? No, Yisurabelis. But I mean not Yisurabelis, I mean the state of Avelis, the state of Matzavulach of Avelis. Shiva Shem, it's not still. Good. And that's why yes, the holy angel Shiva Yomi does not mean Isura Vele. What does the Shiva? And I told you that Isura Vele is practiced, Isura Vele is hard, what is one practice Isura Vele? By behaving in accordance, in compliance with this really 7-11 issue which the Gemara listed and mentioned, enumerated for others. Yeah. How is not the village, but the village as a village of Belair, the experience of a village? How is it? How do you practice it? Huh? You still have a little practice simply by being by mourning for the other. The Gemara is Shleishale Pri has a list. 3 days for crying, Shiva for nothing, I don't know. Huh? Hesper, Shiva. And Shleishim, and Arab, and Novi Ime, Yudbei. This means, when you say Olav Ime Yudbei, Ulacha Yudbei Cheder. Says the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, you shouldn't mourn for father and mother. You should come to a stop. So, we understand what is the Shir Shiva now. We have now two shiurim, two standards by which you measure Avelis. In Suri Avelis you measure by what? By 1 day, so less than 1 day. The Gavra of Avilis is an experience. Avilis Shebelev is 7 days. Well, could you explain to me why did such a big difference was introduced in the concept of Avilis? Apparently like that. That the Torah has as the Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu Tikkun Lehem LeYisrael, Tikkun Lehem LeYisrael, Shiva Simei Mishne, Shiva Simei Avelis. That's the Rambam says. Since the Torah mentions, Vayas Lo'ovi. Abel, Shiva, Shlomi, let us say Nikno Tera v'Neschatshu Aloha. Let us assume what the Tera mentions, we ask Lomi, Abel, Shiva, Shlomi, who was it? Yetzir HaTzadik. So it has meaning, apparently. It has meaning. Nikno Tera v'Neschatshu Aloha. All right, Ramnu, right, Nikno Tera v'Neschatshu Aloha. But why did the Tera say before the Aloha v'Neschatshu Aloha? Why did the Torah say that Avelis is Shiva Yomim and Shiva Yomim? Who said it? Not Lobo, not Esau. Yesu said it. So apparently there is some meaning. All right, Nit Matriar is Hacha Aloha. The Shiva Yomim are not binding. The 7 day period is not binding. Binding is only for the first, but not more than 1 day. But if the Torah mentioned it, and I'll ask another question. What is actually the Shiva Simei Mishne? Meisha Rabbeinu Tikkun. But it's very funny, Meisha Rabbeinu Stakoni is mentioned in Chumash. Malei Shavu Azeis and Yitun Rogam Hashniya. The one who mentioned it was not a Bikovet Ikarid, like Yisra Tzadi. Yeah, sorry, but the Torah recorded his words, enough of me. Since the Torah has recorded his words, apparently that Shiva Simei Mishne have some meaningfulness, some significance. Never mind Lovan, he guessed it right. But this is Torah's mission. This Hachalo. Now you don't have to celebrate Shiva Simei Mishne. Shiva Simei Mishne, the way we celebrate it in the United States. Shiva Simei Mishne. We don't. The United States, quite often, I mean, I must tell you, I like it. The fact that you give a reception to each boy who gets married to a grand kind of issue. It's very nice, it's a milishet. So may I host the colors, a milishet. But the question is, who is the one who mentioned it, the first one? Was a lover? Malish, who was it? So apparently there is meaning to it. There's meaning there. There's a purpose. What does the Shiva Yomim in Avile and the Shiva Yomim in Simchas Rosh Mekalev, what do they represent? What do they represent? In Niyug in Avile, certainly not, because there's no Niyug. BMS, Simchas Rosh Mekalev and Shiva Simi Avile have something in common. In general, in the motivation, the emotional motivation that makes it, causes the person to cry when Rahman al-Islam, someone of his family died, and makes it and generates also a desire for joy, for rejoicing and dancing and singing when one gets married. Because Marriage and avilis and death, the experience of marriage and the experience of death is one, when a man, one is confronted, one of the sooner or later everybody is confronted with that. And also, I mean, the Shiva Simiyah Mishke, 7 days rejoicing, singing and dancing, casting off all our obligations and responsibilities and all the rest of the warfare. Both avilis and the excessive, sometimes a completely ridiculous, nonsensical joy which we experience in the time of a chasid. The time of marriage is just an expression of one great tragic experience of man, loneliness. If man hadn't been lonely, if man hadn't been a mortal being but an immortal being, he would not mourn the passing, because there would have been no need to mourn, and he would not rejoice so much at the marriage, because the man's desire to marry somebody else, the terror at this point, the TV is on the Levade, SLA is at the Levade, is the Levade. The Levade is actually, the Levade is the greatest is the greatest tragedy. In order to feel that man should understand and not completely be and not be completely overwhelmed by what happened to him, but by the event which he couldn't change. In order that man is necessary in a village mourning, because in mourning one finds peace of mind. I understood the significance of Shiva, the significance of a village, when I had to sit to observe a village from my father. It was the first time. I realize it's not a village. It's a cathartic, cleansing experience. If Chazal hadn't introduced this experience and the Torah hadn't told us about this experience, one day, 7 days, we should have introduced this experience ourselves. People don't understand what Nichum Avelin means to them. They don't understand. That's why the Torah imposed upon. That Nichum Avelin is particularly almost cruel. I mean, the emotional state of the loneliness or the vacuum which was created by death is very cruel, is excruciating. In order to find himself, and the Torah said, let him observe everything. And the same on the other hand, that's why men want to join someone else, because the man is mortal, the man is lonely. So the Torah said, you let him enjoy it. Even though the joy at the marriage is an illusion. You know how Chazal tells the story in Brochus? There was a wedding by a Maynard son, you know the old Igmar. And with the Chose Rabbonon, the Mitchit, the Rabbonon are overjoyed, not just rejoice, but overjoyed. So he sang the tune, Elon the Mitzno, Elon the Mitzno, vow to us that we are mortal, vow to us we are mortal. Oh, he took the glass and break and broke it. What did it manifest? People should not forget themselves in joy, and people should not forget themselves in a time of tragedy and distress. People should not. We are entitled to a certain measure of joy. At certain occasions, like marriage, we are entitled to a certain measure of availability, of mourning, grief, etc. We think that man is entitled to joy, man is entitled to availability. But what the Torah has always been concerned with, he should not misunderstand his right, should not exaggerate his right to mourn, to grieve, and to complain, and to ask questions like, you are not, why this, why that, is entitled, but after 30 days. Always, when he reaches the maximum border, the border with it, he reaches, I mean, a certain level of emotional excitement, so he should stop. The Rambam says, the Rambam is a paraphrase of the Gemara, but the Rambam says beautifully. It's a paraphrase of the Gemara. Kol ha-misabu ha-lamed, kohes yeish ha-medai, or as a sheik, a tipus of it, tipus of it. Shari-misabu al שארי מיסאבו על דבר לכל רגל לכל זה לא, על תיקונים שלו לא נענו על מה זה זה יקרה, מה זה זה? אה? על מנהודי שלו אלא לכל המיסאבו על מנהודי שלו אלא על זה טיפש, על שלו זה לא נענו על As a typist, this is correct. You cannot change the world. According to creativity, this is the way the world will go. It does, but the Ram says, Bechol am Yisabu, Kol Shem Yisabu al Meisei, but the Ram finished the Ram. Kol Mishen Yisabu al Meisei. Kol Mishen Yisabu al Meisei. Arze Arzoi. Arze Yeah, this is, on the other hand, indifference, what we are accustomed to say, which is in stoicism, I mean, as far as the equity is concerned, is again, it's azorious, it's cruelty. It's cruelty. I could never understand that when Robert Kennedy was murdered by the Arab slaves, and the mother was told about it, so she went to get some tailor to prepare a dress for the morning service which will take place in the cathedral. This is what Ram meant by azorius. This is exactly, if you want an example, this is the best example. How is it possible for a woman who lost a daughter, and lost two sons, one son was drowned in the English channel and so forth, she lost a few, and still think in terms of fashion about the dress you wear at the service in the church for his soul. This, but however, this is mother morality. I'm sorry to say so, isn't it? On the other hand, to move in the opposite direction and do the opposite thing, namely to exaggerate the mourning and to act like crazy men. I mean, and now you see what happened. What's his name? I got I'll tell you, Franklin. I didn't know the name. So how do I remember learning? Because I make a memory. I know Lenin. I'm telling you the truth. I know the Lenin. Lenin, I can't forget, even if I wanted to. And this is similar to Lenin. The only difference is it is two N's and O. And Lenin is one N and an I. Did you see what Mother America carried on? That's what the tearing of it is. He wanted us to act in times of distress, as well as in times of excitement and ecstasy, rapture, logically in accordance with certain rules, standards that they have formulated. And this is the Shiva Swami from Orwell and the Shiva Swami you can express emotions if you are tense because you are emotionally upset or excited, on the contrary, emotionally happy. But you cannot do it continually. And say I'll mourn 25 days, no? He's already 25 days. I was saying not Shreshim, on the contrary, 50 days. He comes already under the rubric from the Sabbath of Jewish Lelam of the Kippur. On the other hand, I cannot say I'll rejoice by seven multiplied by seven. It's very pleasant, I mean, the drums, an orchestra. I don't know whether they have snaps there. Or there. But no, you cannot say that. It's the same nature of them. Particularly Israel, Shiva Sinyamir, particularly Shiva Sinyamir. It's one idea. The idea is that experiences should express themselves in emotional experiences. At the same time, we shouldn't limit them. We should limit them, not to cross the boundary lines separating we still have some real enjoyment or some real despair. Sometimes you become hysterical. How long, how long should it take? What is the boundary line? And this is a Dinder Aisha. Lachashiva, for instance, if Lachashiva, if he should continue with as far as a village are concerned, continue and cultivate the experience and promote it, so then I violate. The Takonis Meshra Ben, only Shiva Sion. The Meshra said Shiva means Shiva not less, and Shiva means not more. And this is the same, this applies, this is applies to Hosni Tachasupase, and our mission makes him Mutlatana. This is the same. That's what the Rambam said, it is correct, the Rambam. Observance of Isurim. It means by which you express what you express. Your state of mind is Shiva. But it doesn't mean that all Shiva Yomim should be used up for that. Midrashim, Minatere, Minarab, Midivreya, it is like that. As long as you are capable of expressing, manifesting your state of mind, through what? Your state of mind, your experience of it, through to Niyug, and it is considered a Atir Midrashim. It's no Chilu Midrashim, but as Atir. Once Shilu Yomim come to man, this is not a village anymore. A village needs to be expressed in Niyug, but it's still a village as an experience, still a village as an experience. No, but there is no problem. Because the Shiva Tzomim is a shiur. Up to seven you are obligated to observe. Beyond seven there is no observance. There is no observance. Because beyond seven people do not manifest. They are quieter and do not manifest their inner feelings. Through words or through also physical activity or also emotional reaction. This is after seven. Within seven you are obligated only to, you are obligated to what? Actually Niyuga Village with Rabbonim with the right to one day is enough. In the Niyuga Village. But at the same time the Gavra is still a Gavra novel. Because the village Shebelev is still prevails until seven and then goes up to seven. This is basically the Shita Sarambam. It's very important because this is a Yisod Yahadus. How Yahadus relates it, considers emotional life and the problem of emotional experience of a village, of sadness and grief, at the same time of joy like calming. As if the Gedim HaKadmeinim are right, so in this parsha, the parsha of Yesef is the one of what? Of a village. But a village is here not just limited to the experience of a village alone, but it applies to Simcha as well. It means when you have cause for emotional excitement or you have cause for despair, how much do you have to express? How long should you observe it or express yourself or manifest yourself? This is a law of Neville Shiva's coming, which applies to Shiva on the one hand and to than the Shulah Simiyah Mishnah in Dovrim. That's why the Rambam quoted Shulah Simiyah Mishnah in Novel. As far as the Chumash is concerned, this is just I try to explain to you what it is. If you go on, Bayal Yisif Ligbir Asavim, Bayal Yitei Kolav Defarek, Zikne Vesei, V'chil Zikne Yaretz Mitzroyim. Pay attention, please pay attention. Bayal Yisif Ligbir Asavim, Bayal Yitei Kolav Defarek, Kolav Defarek, Zikne Vesei, V'chil Zikne Yaretz Mitzroyim. וחיל בריף יסף ואיכוף ובייסוביף רק טפם וציינם ובקורם עוז לארץ גשם. It's very strange. He says, ויאלו איתו קולב דפארי זיקני ויסף וחיל זיקני ארץ ישראל. And then he says, וחיל בריף יסף ואיכוף ובייסוביף they all went with יסף. It should have been different. ויאלו איתו ליבר הסוביף ויהו איתי כל עבד מצרים זיקני ויסי וחיל זיקני ארץ מצרים ויהו יסי ליגבר השווי וחיל ביסי ואיכו וביסווי ויהו איתי כל עבד פארי זיקני ויסי וחיל זיקני ארץ מצרים והיא הירה ויגד היא סטארץ איזייסי into רוב דה פוסט ובגינס פתאום איזה סטורי עבוד עד עבד פארי הקומפני and then he comes back to יסי and he says וחיל בסיסי ואיכו ובסוי רק טפה מוצא יוצאינו מקור מאוד זה בארץ גשם ובן של ויאלי מגם רכב גם פרושו וימח נכון וגירי ויובאו עד גיר הנאותות או שבעבר הים וייספד ושום מספד גודל ויחובד מאי ויאל יסלו אוביב אלו שבע סיומים והיה ישב האורץ והיה סובון אבליקן כאשר צלום. It's very strange. The answer is that the Torah speaks of two, so to say, funerals. Of two actually, I mean, so basically there's a story of two Avelis. One Avelis of Yosef and the Shivim Nefesh and the Shiyod and the Beis Yaakov. Then by Yas Yosef, Shivas, or by Yas Lovim, Evel Shivas Yomi. There's another story how Pharaoh sent a delegation, I mean, consisting of Mitzri to represent him maybe at the funeral of the service. They, I mean, you know, like it is still this is etiquette. You send somebody, he comes, if you know, this, I mean, pays respect and goes back. The real Avelim, I mean, observe, I mean, a business is burial. And the real Avelim, continue until the burial is complete. This is what the story. But yes, Lord, the Lagos will come and refers to Yosef and his brothers. And they're the descendants exclusively. Because the Torah, you see, speaks about Yosef, interrupts and tells us about Pharaoh, and then tells us about the mistake that the Yeshua Oretz made, that with the Mitzvah, the Mitzvah was somebody prominent, of course, and this intensified their efforts to mourn the Pesach of Jacob, because they thought it's not the just an individual dies, but someone great in Israel. So the kashif, Layas Lovi Veiro Shiva Sami, is not kashif. You go, it's very careful through the text. You see how the Torah speaks about Yosef, breaks up the story about Yosef. and tell us about the attitude and the reaction of Yitzchak of the Mitzrayim club, Jacob's passing, and then Kemble comes back to Yitzchak. If you read it carefully, it's not, I mean, I didn't try to force it in. You see that those are the Pesukim. Point out that there were two kinds of Aveles. And you understand very well that the Mitzrayim, the Aveles of the Mitzrayim, the Aveles of Beis Yaakov would differ. Well, it was not one identical act of mourning. I mean, they differed in many regards. In the middle of the Rambam, but again he quoted, Nitnotir of the Schat Shaloko, for the Genim interpreted of Yasla Ilvi, the Rovi, Eilo Shlisan, refers exclusively to what? To Rebbe Shiva Shomim, okay, refers exclusively to Yasif and not to the Mitzvah. Interesting is, when we speak about it, interesting is something else that I want to say. Yeah. Why did Pharaoh actually cry and mourn so much for them? You see very well, as Vayalini Gam Rechav Gam Poroshi, that Yosef wouldn't have commanded the respect, I mean just because his father died. But apparently someone told the Rechav Gam Poroshi to accompany Jacob, Yosef, and officially do it, express the condolences. And apparently the Davidus was well organized, the ceremonial of Davidus, which the Mitzvah prepared for Jacob. Apparently, as the Yeshua ought to make a mistake, not to understand that this is Jacob, to all the Yaakov, I mean, they remember it. So apparently that the Davidus of the Mitzvah were very intense, and there was not much difference between the village of Yosef and the village of the strangers. But it's very difficult. Why was Parashah involved? By Yavilu at Gir and Rotet, this is the Mitzvah. Bevar Yabin, Vayif Kudushon, Mishpet Godo Vachavid Meri, ויהיה ישו ואורץ מספיד גודל וחובד מי ויהיה ישו ואורץ הכנני שאיבל בגיר הנאותות ויאמר איבל כובד זו למטרד somebody great, somebody important has died and that's why the Mitzrayim are almost hysterical in their reaction to the news item that a great man died. So apparently, if everything would have been staged by Pharaoh and the Mitzrayim, just because of protocol reasons, the mystery wouldn't have misled the Yeshua, wouldn't have been misled as to the identity of the person. He would have understood the fact that the Yeshiva Oretz exchange, I mean confused the identity of the Mishpat is apparently the Mishpat was sincere. Why would the Mishpat be sincere? I mean, I don't believe that in the case the honor they gave Yaakov, the respect they gave him, is reminiscent of a royal funeral. Of a funeral is a royal funeral. Otherwise, what was the excitement?
The Rebbe is the one who actually raised this question, is the Zeya. You see that the Mitzvahs were involved and they realized their anger, the disaster of the event which happened, namely the death of Jacob. When they didn't have, there was no need for the Mitzvah to study Torah under Yaakov. They didn't miss Yaakov's tale. So what did they miss in Yaakov? Here is something which is strange, which sounds strange. The Mitzrim did not understand Yaakov, no doubt about it. But one thing they felt intuitively, that he is a great man. That's what they felt intuitively. Sometimes simple people, Jews, non-Jews, simple people, and they are attracted by someone whom they don't understand. And nevertheless, the attraction is so strong, they simply begin to worship the person whom they admire. And if confronted, if we should confront them with the question, so why? I would answer, I can't explain you why they were attracted by Jacob. They certainly did not abstract. They did not understand it. But sometimes it's an intuitive approach which you cannot explain. The Mitzrim suddenly, on the day on which Yaakov died, so the Mitzrim began to realize what a great man he was. They didn't know already about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to Jacob and the chosen community with Jacob, who was one of the founders. They didn't understand all that was too far from the Egyptian Ashkot HaSelem world formula. This was a pagan, this was the Egyptian formula. It was rooted in a paganism, in all its ugly, in all its ugly reflections. But nevertheless, somehow he realized, Pharaoh, many of his advisors, that a great man is of him. And you find it in a matter of fact. You find it in history, in Jewish history, you find it very well. That certain rulers, certain great political leaders, statesmen, didn't like us. But this doesn't mean they liked us. They liked us. They didn't like us, and nevertheless, they were, I would say, not afraid, but they stood in awe for the Jew. They were not really Israel, but still, this is actually, this property is, this property basically, this kind of understanding, without this kind of respecting the person, without understanding, this is typical of the Ashkof HaSedem of the Jew. Not understand the person quite often, but respect him, because I feel there is something intuitive, I feel. There is greatness in my heart. And that's what happened to the Pharaoh after the death of Jacob. Of course, such understanding always comes, not always, in many cases comes, after the other person had died, after the death of the other person. As long as the person is around, you don't think of him in analytical terms. But once he's dead, you begin to ask yourself, who was it? Who was it? According to Keheles, with a Medrash interpret, is the question, who was he, is never asked while a person is alive. Who is he? Is my neighbor? how much money did they earn? $100 a week. And so forth on. The first question addressed to people about an individual comes up with his death. One died, so ask who was it. But usually, but there are exceptions to this rule too. And this is a typical question. And Pharaoh apparently realized the greatness of Jacob after Jacob died. And that's what Isaiah answers. After Jacob's death, he realized he lost the great class. But anyway, that's why he issued the instruction that Jacob be accompanied by, be given a state funeral. Because here, reading the parsha from Jacob's Kure, you get the impression that Avelim was not Yosef and his brothers, but Pharaoh and Zipni Mitzrayim. It's a strange idea. We find something else similar to that. When Yosef addressed himself to the brothers, when he was about to reveal his identity. Says Vakeu Nishma Bispare Vayita Vadova Benir. And then Pharaoh told Yosef he should send a letter to his father and brothers, they should come as soon as possible to Mitzrayim. And Pharaoh promises from the Yigash that he will give Jacob and his household, will give the makeup of it, the best of the land. Why was Pharaoh so excited about Jacob coming to Mitzrayim? He had to study Torah under Jacob. Why was it so excited for him? And he sent Agolis a special gift. Agolis apparently the first ones who invented the technique of Agolis, to build Agolis without the Mitzvah. And the Agolis apparently, was the symbol of their state symbol, the symbol of the state of the Empire of Egypt. We find a similar expression in Ozzy Yoshua, Sus Verech V'Roma Bayom. What is Sus Verech V'Roma Bayom? Because the Sus was the animal which the Mitzvah, the Egyptians, have trained for war. The Sus, for instance, the animal as the indefensible weapon, and the most advanced weapon, like the nuclear bomb nowadays. If the sus v'reichle, this is the animal, the sus. The animal, it was trained for war, and they like Hannibal. I mean, he had the elephant trained for war, and he almost defeated the Roman Empire. Because they were not used, the Roman soldiers, no matter how good an army they were not used to fight elephants with the long noses. They almost lost the war. Who wins the war? Who comes out up with a surprise and weaponry? The first war was won by the Allies, not by Germany, because of the tank. Germany had no tank. The tank was invented by Englishmen. So there was the war. The second war was lost because of the nuclear bomb. At least as far as Japan is concerned. Perhaps they would have won the war anyway, but it would have dragged down for a couple of years. It was a surprise weapon. Now a nuclear bomb is not a surprise weapon. And any husband and wife, as well as each other in the kitchen, could throw nuclear bombs now. Is the American government interested in the safety, the threat arises, how to prevent catastrophes? You know how much was as well as in the, as it every day is in the new accident. Is the one who produces a weapon which is unknown to the enemy who wins the war. The Romans who won the war because they had what they call it in English, they had a, in order to tear down a wall in the field. What? I don't get it. I can't pronounce it. Bettringham, correct? Bettringham. That's why they won the war in your daily in Nazi soil. If you read Josephus, the Bettringham actually was the weapon for which they actually conquered Yerushalayim. So he quite interesting. I mean, it's just a mamara musga, a parenthetical remark. She was a betamus, we mourn the fall of the wall. The wall in the Nifko here. Now how far is from the wall, the site on which the wall was, to the Beis HaMikdash, the Rabbi? Huh? 7-8 minutes on the water. How long did it take the removal? 3 weeks. So apparently that every stone was defended. It's blocked. And the Mitzvim had to sacrifice almost an army in order to conquer Yerushalayim with someone the distance of which can be covered by 6 or 7 minutes walk. When Paris speaks, talking in such terms, I imagine that the Agolis was a production of Paris. Production of Egypt. Egypt, the Agolis here, and Sus Ferechlerom by Yom Yaz Yoshia, it's one weapon. This is the Agolis plus the Sus. And also in Shmuel, when you speak, not in Shmuel, in Shaftin, when you speak about Sisko, there's also the Agolis in Sisko. So Pharaoh said that he will send Agolis, which was perhaps the pride of the Egyptians, as far as technology is concerned, he will send Agolis to bring Jacob and Israel. So apparently he felt that Jacob should come to Israel. And interesting is something else. When Jacob refused to go, and he doubted the veracity of their statements, Vayares Agolis, what did he see in the Agolis, which he could not see in the statement, in the message which Joseph sent him? What did he see in the Agolis? So Chazal have changed the Agolis Roshne Egla Rufel. But Pshitishel Mikro, what did he see in the Agolis? Why did Chazal change from Agolis? Why was it necessary? Because otherwise he didn't understand the Pasuk. Vayar es Agolis. But Chiruach Yaakov Avinu, why? If he was skeptical and didn't believe the children, what could the Agole prove which he was not told by his children? Because Jacob knew that Agole is an Egyptian weapon, which most probably is a classified weapon. And the fact that they brought Agole proves not only that what they say is true, that Joseph's power and might is unlimited. No one else but Joseph, the Prime Minister, could have gotten the abolition of Pharaoh. But actually, it's Joseph in the Great of Chumash tells us Joseph was not interested in the Agolas. Pharaoh was the one who suggested the Agolas. Pharaoh had tremendous unlimited respect for Jacob, and he wanted to get Jacob Mitzrayim as soon as possible. That's what he told Joseph, write a letter to them and write to them and tell them that I want them to come and out, and they'll settle in the best part of Mitzrayim, Eretz Goshen. This is agricultural and territory in Mitzrayim, but come as soon as possible. I mean, have a Vayigash, because somehow Pharaoh was attracted by Yaakov. Pharaoh was the one who recognized Yosef as the very talented boy, as a genius. Animtzo ruach asher, animtzo ish asher ruach lekim b'sechek ha'meishe. He actually has not spoken to Yosef at all. Yosef told him that the interpretation is the seven prosperity years of prosperity and seven years of famine. But whether Yosef said just, it was a guess on the part of Yosef, how he didn't investigate Yosef, interrogate Yosef, what did he mean by it, how does he know that? He was most probably a responsible king. So why did he proclaim immediately, without waiting for any discussion or debate? Without debate, he declared immediately, Anim tzo ish asher ruach elokim bei, and called him Avreich and Tzofnes Paneach, Rak HaKisi Yigdol Minoch. Where do you find it? Apparently that Yosef's image, he was extremely irresistibly attracted to Pharaoh. Pharaoh realized that here is a great man, a genius, a visionary, and he'll save Mitzrayim. And as a matter of fact, he did save Mitzrayim. That's why when Jacob died, when Yaakov died, so Pharaoh said, this old Jew apparently deserves a state funeral. And the orders were to give Yaakov a state funeral. Rechef, Roshim, all the kinds of weapons. When Kennedy was murdered, I mean, they dragged all kinds of weapons. It is important to understand, if Jacob hadn't had this attractive, fascinating personality, who knows what would have happened. You know what Pharaoh had to do in order to prevent the Jews from departure from Israel much later? You know all he had to do? Not to grant the permission for burial of Jacob in Canaan. Say if he wants to be buried here, good, but nothing else now. And you see, Peri Eretz Canaan apparently was very important in Jacob's plans, because had Jacob been buried in Mitzrayim, so the whole agreement between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole agreement between the Almighty and the Knesset Yisrael would have been validated in the world. Basically, the Knesset Bris was implemented and the same day on which Jacob was buried in Rosh. You know why? Because when the Oveis left Eretz Yisrael, Jacob and the Shivim left it, his Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was annulled. Kitchor Shaito, and Kitchor Shaglobi, as far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned. Avram lived there, so he lived, but he doesn't live anymore. Yitzhak lived here, yes, but now he's not here. Jacob lived, he lived, but you'll stop, but he died answer. But not only lived here, he came back to Eretz Yisrael. That's about the ownership of Eretz Yisrael by Jacob continued. It was not the Yaakov says, the Rambam says, Botla Kibush Bopteva Akdusha, no. The Kvuras, Yaakov in Mitzrayim, in Moras HaMachpila, confirmed and validated the promise, the Christian Greece made by Abraham. All Pharaoh had to, Pharaoh had wanted to simply to prevent Jacob's visions from becoming the reality. All he had to say is no. If he wants to be buried, I'll give him a state funeral. He wants to go back to no, so go, but don't come back. He didn't do that yet. Even though he was very much upset by it, embarrassed by it, Pharaoh, how do I know he was embarrassed by it? How do I know that Pharaoh, he didn't tell me anything? Asher Ishbacho, Kasha Tzimtzer, he said, hadn't it been an oath, I wouldn't have let him go. But the oath, I don't want you to know how. But you, I don't remember, I told you, yes. The Alan Roy Rothschild, from Paris, that told me the following story. There's nothing new in it, but he shed the light on the story of Jacob in the most wonderful manner, beautiful manner. It's very strange. And on Nodifa Yedua, Nodifa Yedua is Edmund Rothschild. He actually built Rishon LeZion, you know, the Rehovot, the wine industry in Eretz Yisrael. All that was developed by the Edmund Rothschild. But no, it's called not if you do it, not spoil, not far from Haifa. You have the Alan Roy Rothschild, they're from Paris, they told me the following story. There's nothing new in this, but it sheds a light on the story of Jacob in the most wonderful manner, beautiful manner, very strange. And I'm not if I do it. Not what I do is Edmund Rothschild. He actually built Rishon LeZion, you know. The Rehovot, the wine industry in Eretz Yisrael, all that was developed by the Edmund Rothschild. But no, it's called not if I do it in Eretz Yisrael, not far from Haifa. You have this day Sanodic. It's day Sanodic, no? I believe so. Because but he died during the independence, the war of independence. It was impossible to send the body to Eretz Yisrael. So they buried him in Paris, somewhere on the cemetery. Then when the war went, passed, so they began to consider means to remove the body from France to Eretz Yisrael. So Alan also told me that De Gaulle called in his cousin, Edmund Rothschild, James Rothschild, and told them, I'll tell you frankly, he was very excited first of all, he said, I'll tell you frankly, I don't understand you Jews. I always thought that the Rothschild family is devoted and loyal to France, and a real Frenchman. They differ only as to religion. But I would like to ask you, tell me, give me a definition. What is a good Frenchman? Who is a good Frenchman? He said, a good Frenchman? And he himself gave him the answer. The goal. A good Frenchman is one who was brought up in French schools. A good Frenchman is one who fights for France in times of emergency. A good Frenchman is
who want to contribute toward first, toward our culture and so forth. And a good Frenchman who listens to that, listen to what I'm going to say, is one who dies and is buried in French soil. I cannot imagine a good Frenchman whose body is transferred to somewhere else. This was the same story between Yosef and Pharaoh. Kasher is Bihar, Kasher is Biacho. Yosef said, I don't understand it. Pharaoh said, I don't understand it. I thought I knew him so well. And I always considered any accusations as far as his motives vis-à-vis friends is concerned as false. I had unlimited trust, but now I see those accusing of hypocrisy on the other side. You don't want him to be buried in France. It's not only reflection upon him, it's a reflection not only upon you, it's a reflection upon the Edmond de Rothschild as well. This was the story between Yaakov and between Yosef and Pharaoh. And he said, actually, I could have forbidden it. All I have to do is to call the magistrate of Paris and tell him not to grant the commission. It's after. But, I don't want to start a fight with Jews and Jews. It's exactly what Pharaoh said to Yosef. What did he say? Of course I'm disappointed, but what can I do? Kasher is Biach. It's basically in Chumash Vayechi we find the foundation, the what and the how of Avodah. I wouldn't say that Avodah is the Aika should have been. Everything is Aika. Why is it so important? Because in the Alochas of Avodah we find other Alochas referring to the emotional life of a Jew. How a Jew should live emotionally, not physically. Physically we know. We should be treasury, we should do that, this, not to do Morocco and Shabbos, observe and keep up. That's enough. But how a Jew should see, should know Rahman al-Islam, how a Jew should rejoice on proper occasions, and so forth and so on, how should a Jew spend winter, and so forth. This is the Parshas Vayechi. And there, I just want to... There is something else in Parshas Vayechi which is more important than Avodah and the emotional life of the Jew, even though it's very important, the emotional life of the Jew. who wrote a book about it? The Sefer. About the emotional life of a Jew, how to love and how to hate and how to mourn Rahman al-Islam and how to rejoice. Chevet Savovich. Chevet Savovich in the Akdomit speaks about it. That the emotional life of a Jew is as important as is the Sephardist. If the Torah had laws pertaining to Achille, what to eat, what not to eat, what to swallow, what not to swallow, it is certainly interesting. And there are laws pertaining to the emotional life. The problem is that we don't study. And those who study, you always find fault with someone else. But this is the emotional life of a Jew. You find already the beginning. Then the Torah has another place, another passages, references the emotional life. But the Parshas Yei Vayechi Yaakov Ve'ard Mitzrayim, if studied correctly and thoroughly, is a Parsha
which is concerned to the problem, how should a Jew cry, Rahman al-Islam, and how should a Jew dance? Of course, on the respective occasions. There's another idea which is very important. Another idea in my field which is very, very important. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have discovered this idea in my field if I hadn't known that the Ramban wrote in my Chayisor. Avram Sokin, Boba Yomi. Avram Sokin, Boba Yomi. Hashem Bera Resavram Baki. And the Gemara is a matter of fact, Basa Yisrael Avram is the Gemara of Basa. Basa Yisrael Avram Avinu Baki Shmo. The Ramban is speak there, I mean, it's not so simple to understand the Ramban. I still don't understand. But one idea I derived from Ramban. You speak about Am Israel, you speak Rishon Legay, Legoy Godel, Rishon Legay Godel, we speak Gay Kodesh. But actually all those attributes by which we refer, by which we address ourselves to the Jews as a people. All of them can be classified under one word, or two words the most. Knesset Israel. Knesset Israel tells us more than Am Israel. Knesset Israel tells us more than Gay Kodesh, Knesset Yisrael. That's what the Ramban says in Chai Yisrael, basically. Knesset Yisrael is good enough. What does Knesset Yisrael have? When was the term Knesset Yisrael coined? When? Knesset Yisrael is not mentioned in Tanakh. Mentioned? No. I don't know any place in Tanakh which speaks of the Am Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. Kigei Kodesh at Hashem Lekecho. Boni Matim Hashem Lekecho, he is older, but not Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is a Chazal. Omro Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Knesset Yisrael is a Chazal. Where is the source of the idea which hides behind those two cryptic words, namely Knesset Yisrael? What idea? And who was the one who actually used Knesset Yisrael phonetically? But the idea is mentioned. Not mentioned. It's elaborated. This is Yaakov. The Yosef, the Yikro Yaakov, what is the person saying? The Yosef, didn't he say Yosef?
He was used.
The Reyosu was used by Esther Malkin by substituting Kneis for the verb of Reyosu Vikovtsu. The one who said that the Israel is a Knesset was the first one was Yaakov, even though he did not use this synonym. Namely, Yosu Mekis, but it's a Knesset. The Gemara says, as kol tanis knufio. Every tanis, the idea of tanis is knesses. Knufio. So my yesu lishimu b'neyaki v'adisroel l'avich. But not only Yaakov used the word useful, but there is something else. The whole character, the very content, of Yaakov's brochus, and later followed, was later followed by Meshach Rabbeinu, is brochus which actually, I mean, are oriented just on one idea, Knes or a Kovtzuk or Knesset Yisrael. Why is the whole character of the Brochus based upon the idea of Knesset Yisrael? Why is it so? Why do I say so? What is the content of the Brochus? It's very difficult, Brochus is very difficult to understand, but both in Meshach Rabbeinu, Brochus is this a Brochus in Yaakov. Chazal say memokim posak hazokim hiskel Meshe. Meshe began, picked up the thread which Yaakov developed, but not fully, and Meshe concluded on Meshe. Concluded and explained what Yaakov hazokim meant when he said it was. What did the brachas consist of? What is it? Ruben prayer, Kirchen Reis, Pastor Matisa, Shimon Belayim, the Chomes Israel, Yehudi, Yuchachacho, that we are the Chomes. What is it? The Rea? What do you say?
Past and the future?
No. The Rashi says it, that each individual has attributes and talents which are just the opposite of the talents and the attributes another individual has. Each individual is unique by his individuality. Individuality means that he is someone, that he is the personality which are not only, I mean, not identical with another favorite, completely opposed. There is tension between the portrayal of Ruben and the portrayal of Yehuda or Binyamin or the same as the Kinus Yahadus consists, but the Ramban says, many Afochim. Many opposites, many contradictions, I told you once, many contradictions fuse into one, Knesset Yisrael. It doesn't mean when he said Ruben Prerer, Atokirch Evreish, Yisrael, Yitaras, Kamayim, Al-Teser, that he condemned completely Ruben. He condemned Ruben completely for being too swift, too hasty. Sometimes to be swiftness, I mean, is a result of devotion and sincere loyalty to a certain idea. Sometimes to be swift, for instance, Badin, every Mitzvah Badin. So the question is, how could the Knesset, Anshe Knesset Agdele, they're also called Knesset, how could the Anshe Knesset Agdele recommend every Mitzvah Badin? Yaakov says, Pachas Kamayim Al Pesach. What's the answer? Yaakov said, Pachas Kamayim Al Pesach. Why did the Anshe Knesset Agdele say it, every Mitzvah Badin? So what is the answer? Of course, depends upon it. This is the Shulchan Aruch. This is Kairo Shabalpe, this is a Shulchan Aruch. Uven Pachas Kamayim is a negative quality, Uven Pachas Kamayim is a positive quality. Uven Pachas Kamayim should be avoided, or Pachas Kamayim should be practiced, and so forth and so on. The Knesset Yisroel means each Shevet represented a certain quality, a certain attribute. Knesset Yisroel, I mean, made all those attributes merge into one. And this one entity, which is called Knesset Yisroel, is a fusion of many talents, and there is disharmony. But the final result is that Knesset Yisroel is, as the Ramban says, Knisas HaKeil. That's how the Ramban interprets. V'avron zokin bo bayoni, but the Shem Berach es Avron is what? As in his personality, in Abraham's personality, who was completeness, he represented every attribute, every midah, but the Shem Berach es Avron Bakil. And the Ramban says, this was the Gemara meant to Medrash, as Basisol Avrom Avino. Bakil Shmo. Basisol Avrom Avino is the sphere of Malchus. Bas is Malchus. Bas is all disappears, I mean appears in its feminine role. Malchus. Bas is Malchus. Malchus is Bas, Malchus is Tzinyan Yerushalayim, Malchus, and Malchus is also Knesset Yisroel. Keil is Yesod, and Bakel is Malchus. Let's have the Ramban interpret our Kabbalah. But the main idea is that Knesset Yisroel embraces is the place where all midas merge into one mida, into one entity. And this entity is called Knesset Yisroel. And the idea of Knesset Yisroel as representing all keches anefesh, all talents of the human being controls, all talents, all creative abilities of the human being, they might differ with regards to other letters, but the risk necessary the identity of the Knesset Yisroel in spite of different midas which exclude each other sometimes, there is unity, absolute unity of the Knesset Yisroel. And this is if you have the Ramban quotes Kalo is also Knesset Yisroel. Because what does Kalo mean? What does Kalo mean in Hebrew? No, Kalo, Choflamet Reh. Kalo means everything. Why is Kalo is everything, and Kalo is the girl who gets married. Because you sing before the Kalo. You sing, of course, it's not Kalo Norva Hasuda, the Gemara. And you enumerate miles she possesses, which she never possessed. It's not a joke. Kalo means scale. everything there is in this world is centered around this girl. Yeah, how it is. That's why she spoke necessary for it. Melvonim Kalo, Achesi Kalo, means next to Israel. All Kirches HaNefesh, all Kirches in Yitzirim. We are rooted in Knesset Israel, Knesset Israel, as fusion of all the world. And this was the first time revealed to us in Parshat Vayechi. Rashi said, Just one. The first clip. Firstly speaks about each favorite individual. Binyamin Zev Yitro, Vabeka Yechlaat, Ulehav Yadach, Yachay Yechalashov. Kolele Shifti Yisroel Shnei Mesa, Shnei Mosa. וזה איש אשר דיבר לנביא, ויבוא החיסון, איש אשר תלחוס לבר החיסון, לא עבר לרפטישה. סוסס רשי סר, איש תלחוס לבר החיסון, מה אתה מבין לבר החיסון? לפי שלא סתם ליהודי גבור עשה לי, יהודי סטילוס יצאו, לספורט את יהוד, לזכורת, בקודם לזכורת. ובניומן חטיפוסה של זה, ובניומן הגרנטה את האטריביות של להיות אגרסיב, כמו רוב. ולנפתולי איולו שלוחו, קלוסה של איולו, במוביליטי, his mobility was tremendous. יוכל שריטילו להם כולם בכל הברוכס, so Yankee, if you are reading the Broches, we are under the impression that Yankee wanted each other to be a different individuality. This is not true. Then there is no others Israel. If he chose it. And this is exactly what Mechira Seitz has accomplished. Mechira Seitz explained what it. The idea of Knesset Israel, he was completely affected by Mechira Seitz, and that's why they had to make good, I mean, the damage they inflicted upon the history of it, upon our history, upon the idea of Knesset Yisroel, by splitting it, separating the Yehuda from Reuven, Reuven from Yosef, Yosef from Benjamin, and so forth. So Jacob, first of all, bestowed his blessings. Each blessing represented the individual image of the Savior. Yochel Matanur Shinosan Yude, Yochel Shoikilam Kulam the Cholam Roches, then he mixed the way you mix it a dough. With the dough you put in water, you put in flour. But then you put in sugar, you put in, I mean, don't use it in the recipe. you put in cheese, you put in raisins, and nuts. It's a wonderful dough, because you can't eat it. Alright, when Yaakov gave each children a separate broche, it looked like it's dough, I mean, which is not prepared, which has not been completed yet. Chazal, Kol Zeh, Shifte Yisroel Shnei Masa, 12 Kirches HaNefesh, Shifte Yisroel Shnei Masa. The Zeh has a different, but besides, the broches which each shevet received from Jacob as an individual entity, by Vorachesom, Vesterlan is the Zeis, Asher Dibolem Aviyem, Dibolem all together, he addressed himself to all shvetim together. By Vorachesom, Ish Asher Kebechose, Berachesom, he stood by Vorachesom together, and in addition, Funish Kebechose, Berachesom. each shaved in the water was indicative and characteristic of his special talent, or of his contribution to the Knesset Israel, or of his great deeds which he'll perform in history. And then, this is a bigger Kolele Shifti Yisrael, but Kolele Shifti Yisrael Shem also, but Yaakov repeated and said, you are all together, all of you together are involved in the great Knesset Yisrael. By Vorachism, Isha Shekibachos Yidr. All right.